If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 46. Genesis chapter number 46, we're looking at the life of Joseph. And we're up to chapter 46. We want to deal with the first seven verses of this chapter. And I want to deal with the subject of Jacob's broken heart. Jacob's broken or troubled. I guess troubled would be a better word. Jacob's troubled heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we prepare to read your word and to present it as the word of God with all authority, with all power, with great instruction and encouragement and help, rebuke, God, we pray that you would use it to speak to our hearts, your children. God, that you would instruct us, and God, that you would help us to see and understand your word. Pray, God, that you would help us to see you in a greater way. And God, that your word would be a help to us in our daily life as we journey through this life in hopes of living for you and being conformed to your image and sharing Christ with others. God, we pray that you would strengthen us and help us by your word tonight. Thank you for those who've come. I pray that they would see the benefit of being here in church on Sunday evening, that you would bless them and help them and encourage them and strengthen them as only you can. We'll be thankful and grateful for that. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Verse number 1 of chapter number 46 of the book of Genesis, Moses writes, "And Israel," that would be Jacob. Notice how his name will be interchanged between Israel and Jacob here in the text, as it already has been in the book of Genesis. "And Israel," or Jacob, "took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God, unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I," or "Here am I." And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. I was thinking this afternoon, there is a lot in life that troubles our hearts. I wish that life could be just a smooth sailing endeavor. But it seems like there's so much that comes into our life that makes life difficult, that makes life troublesome, and things that just seem to trouble our hearts. In the text, Jacob, Joseph's father, and his brothers and all of their families are on the move. Jacob is going to see to Egypt to see his son Joseph. Joseph has sent for his father and told the entire family to come and live in the land of Goshen, and there Joseph will make sure that they are taken care of, and even Pharaoh has added his stamp of approval on that plan. And wagons have been sent to receive Jacob and his family so that they can come to Egypt where Jacob can provide for them and take care of them. But Jacob's heart is troubled. He is reluctant to leave the land of promise. This was the land that God had promised them. This is the land that he had lived in. This was familiar territory. This was home. And now he's being asked to move and to live in a strange land among strange people in a land that certainly wasn't what we would consider to be full of godly people. Egypt was looked at as a very ungodly place, and it was an ungodly place, wasn't it? But that's what Jacob's being asked to do. Leave the land of promise, leave familiar territories, leave people that they know, and go to a land that is strange and mainly ungodly. And I'm sure to Jacob, this entire thing just seems to be an unlikely situation. Why would God ask us to leave here, a land that He has promised, and take us to a land that is full of ungodliness? And as I said, Egypt had always been a problematic place. Abraham got in trouble in Egypt, remember. And God had told people, don't go to Egypt. But here, as best as Jacob can surmise, God has in His will for him and his family to go to Egypt. So the question I'm asking is, what do we do when providence seems to bring things into our lives that are troublesome, are questionable, are hard for us to understand? What do we do when God brings things into our life and providentially brings things into our life that are difficult? What do we do when there's things that come into our lives that we just can't exactly figure out what God is doing? We just can't put our finger on it. We don't understand it. Things are uncomfortable. And that may be the best word. What do we do when God brings things into our comfortable life that makes us uncomfortable? Well, Jacob's 130 years old. That's old. Amen. 130 as he sets off on this journey, and he isn't quite sure it's the right thing to do. He isn't quite sure that this is God's will. He isn't quite sure and at peace with all of this, and so his heart is troubled. Providence certainly has pointed in this direction, but how can he be sure of his right interpretation of God's providence? I don't know about you, but I have certainly more than once misinterpreted God's providence. Sometimes I twist God's providence to make it say what I want it to say. So Jacob's heart is troubled, and many times our hearts are troubled too. What do we do when our hearts are troubled? Let me give you three things. Number one, the first thing Jacob does as he sets off in this journey to Egypt with a troubled heart, not sure that this is the right thing to do, apprehensive at best, the first thing that he does is that he worships God. As Israel took his journey with all that he had, he came to Beersheba. Beersheba has significance in the Old Testament. And there at Beersheba, he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. And so the first thing Jacob does is he comes to Beersheba and he worships God. Now, really the significance of Beersheba here is that it is the farthest place you can go and still be in the promised land. It is as far south as you can go in Canaan land and still be in Canaan land. This is the last stop. If you go past Beersheba, you're out of the promised land. And so he stops here at the very edge of the border of the promised land. If you go past Beersheba, you're in the desert, and then there is Egypt. And so as he comes to the farthest point of Canaan land, he stops and he worships God. What should we do when our hearts are troubled? What should we do when we face difficulty in life? What should we do when we have to deal with uncomfortable situations in a daily occurrence? Well, let me tell you one thing we shouldn't do. We shouldn't stop worshiping God. And so many times, difficulties and troubles and trials and these things cause us to stop worshiping God. I can't tell you how many times that I've had people not come to church because their hearts are troubled, or not come to church because they're going through a difficult period in their life. That's the very time you need to come to church. That's the very time that you need to worship and glory in God. Our situations may have changed. Our lives may have changed. But God hasn't changed. And so here, Jacob stops and he worships God. And I would say this. One of the reasons why we have troubled hearts and difficult times, providentially, is so that we will worship God. So, the question is, is my trouble, is my difficulty, is it bringing me toward God, or is it taking me away from God? Is it causing me to be more dependent upon God? And if it's not, I've got some trouble there. Say amen. So what do you think Jacob could be sacrificing to God for? Let me give you two possibilities. Number one, Jacob could have stopped here at Beersheba and simply offered sacrifices on the altar of thanksgiving. Now listen, Jacob's heart's troubled, but there's no doubt God has been good to Jacob. Jacob doesn't really know whether this move is the will of God, but there's still no doubt that God has been good to Jacob. I mean, his son, whom he thought was dead for the last 22 years, is alive. And he is going to be able to face him face to face and hug his neck and touch him again. Well, God's not good. I don't know what that is. Amen? And not only is he going to be able to see his son Joseph is the governor over all of Egypt. And God has provided for him through this famine. And so this entire trip that he's making is to see a son that he thought was dead that isn't really dead because God had taken care of him. And he's able to see Joseph face to face. Matter of fact, he could go back and say, listen, I sent Benjamin down to Egypt and God let Benjamin come back. God had been good to Jacob. And God had given Jacob more than he ever thought or ever desired. God had been good to him and he's thankful. No matter what troubles our hearts, no matter what difficulty we face, can we all agree? It doesn't change the fact that God has been good to us. God has provided for us. God has taken care of us, and He deserves our thanksgiving. And so there's an altar of thanksgiving possibly here in Beersheba. And then secondly, there is the possibility that this was an altar of trespasses. Of course, Jacob knows Jacob, right? Does anybody know Jacob better than Jacob except for God? Jacob knows Jacob. Jacob knows his own heart. And he knows that his heart is wicked and vile and unclean. He knows he has this large family and he knows that his family has need of their sins to be forgiven, to be confessed. Can we agree there's always sins to be forgiven, sins to be confessed? There's always sins that need to be brought before the Lord, sins that always need to be covered with the blood of Christ. And Jacob, who lives with himself, knows his doubts, knows his lack of faith, knows his desires for ungodly things, knows his love for idolatry. He knows his proneness to wander from God. And maybe he stops here at Beersheba and says, before I leave the land of promise, I've got to confess my sins. I've got to offer on the sacrifice of the altar here for my sinfulness. I spread my sin out before my God and ask and seek for his forgiveness. So that's the question. Does our questioning whether this is God's will or not, does it make me more dependent on God? Does it help me to see the goodness of God? Does it help me acknowledge His goodness in my life? Does it make me more aware or less aware of my own sinfulness? Does it cause me to confess or conceal my sin? Is it bringing me toward worshiping God or farther from His worship? Because it can do both. Troubled hearts, difficult lives can put you toward God or draw you away. The question is, what's it doing in your life? What is your troubled heart doing for you? Pushing you toward God, making you dependent upon God, seeing His goodness, His kindness, His love, His mercy, His grace, your sinfulness? Or is it making you bitter against God? No matter what, God's been good, and He deserves our thankfulness. One thing we should do with troubled hearts is make sure that we are worshiping God. Amen? It's not a time to go to church less. It's time to go to church more. It's not a time to lift God up less. It's time to lift God up more. It's time just to rest in Him. Number two, are you with me? Number two, with troubled hearts, as Jacob had here, as he leaves the land of Canaan and goes to the land of Egypt, wondering and contemplating whether this is really the right thing to do or not, he stops and he worships God, and then he hears the Word of God. Verse 2, "And God spake unto Israel in visions of the night." Now, do we correlate, do we make a connection here, the worship of God with the speaking of God? We could. Amen? God speaks to those who worship Him, we might say. But God certainly spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob," and he said, "Here am I." And God said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt." That's the key. Don't fear to go down into Egypt, for I will make of thee a great nation, and will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. So it is here at Beersheba, after his worship of God, that God speaks to Jacob. Now let me just stop here and say this so we don't get all excited. I don't think God speaks to us in dreams and visions and impressions. I think God speaks to us through His Word. But He does speak to us. Now you remember, Jacob has not heard from God since God gave Joseph the dreams. That's 22 years ago, over 22 years ago. But here God speaks, and Jacob hears God. And the key is to make sure that we're getting direction from God. We're getting our direction from the Word of God, and not from our feelings or from ourselves. If we are wise, we will consult the Word of God and hear from God about the situation. And the question is, do we seek God through His Word? What should we receive from the Word? Well, I think Jacob received comfort from the Word. Jacob is fearful, isn't he? Isn't he fearful? He's fearful about leaving Canaan and going to Egypt. He's fearful. What does God say? Fear not. Fear not. Do you know what happens when we read the Word of God and study the Word of God? It comforts us. It removes fear from us. The more we're in the Word of God, the more we are comforted by the Word of God. The Word of God will comfort us like nothing else can. A troubled heart is comforted by what? The Word of God. Amen? Difficulty is faced as we find direction in the Word of God. And the question is, does God bring comfort to your heart through the Word of God, or does He bring fear? If I'm doing the wrong thing, God's going to bring fear. Right? But if I'm looking for doing the right thing, God's going to bring comfort. And so, do we get personal communication from Him that will bring comfort to our souls? God spoke directly to Jacob, didn't He? Jacob, Jacob, and Jacob says, "Here am I." And you know, God still does that today. He'll speak to you personally through His Word. And I can't tell you enough how many times that I, with a troubled heart, have opened the Word of God and been comforted by the things that God has there for me. And so the Word of God removes fear, it removes apprehension, it removes anxiety. Jacob went to the right place and he heard from God. What should we do? We need to hear from God. And it's sad that it's almost, the Bible's almost the last resort. We try everything else, and then when we find no comfort, we finally go to the Bible and hear from God. But God has comfort for our hearts, amen? He has direction and He has solace for our fears. The comfort of the Word of God. And then the confidence of the Word of God. The question is, do we believe the Word of God? Because God makes Jacob some promises here, doesn't He? He says He's going to make of them a great nation in Egypt. He's going to travel with them. His presence will be with them in Egypt. And He's going to bring them out again. So those are three very specific promises. Will Jacob now believe and trust that God will make good on His promises? Do we believe? Do we truly believe that all things work together for good? Because we say that and then practically act as if we don't. We think all good things work together for my good. God didn't say that. He said all things, good and bad things, work together for our salvational good. And so the question is, will God really go with us? Will He really make of us a great nation? Will He really prosper us? Will He really bring us out again? Do we really believe the promises of God? Do we really believe that God's Word is inerrant? Do we really believe that God said it and it will be so? Will we trust God? Will we trust His Word? And the thing about it is, what's happening in our lives may look as if it is the exact opposite of what God has said in His Word. Will we trust God? Amen? Will we believe that this difficulty, this trouble, will work for our good and for His glory? Even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, will we trust Him, or will we lean upon our own understanding? Even when the Bible promises suffering, do you know the Bible promises us that we will suffer? Even when the Bible promises us suffering, do we really believe that the suffering or the persecution that we will go through is for our good and for His glory? Or do we cry out, "Why me?" Gloom and despair, agony on me. Whoa. Do we believe if God said it, it shall be so? Do we fully trust in God? So Jacob, troubled in his heart, questioning whether this move is right or not, whether God's will is for him to load up everything and go and live in Egypt of all places. How does he get peace about that? How does he find comfort in that? How does he find smoothing for the trouble of his heart? He worships God. And he listens to God. And he believes God. And he trusts God. Now listen. That's not always been the way Jacob has operated. Right? Jacob has pretty much, most of his life, taken matters into his own hands. But here, the only hope that he has is to trust God. That God is being honest and truthful, and he is trustworthy. So, what do we do with our troubled hearts? Well, we shouldn't let troubled hearts cause us to stop worshiping God. We should continue to worship God, and all the more, we should consult the Word of God, finding comfort from His Word and confidence in what God has promised for us. And then lastly, we ought to load the wagons. We ought to load the wagons. Verse 5. After worshiping God, after hearing from the Word of God, what does Jacob do? He arises from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and they came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. Jacob arose from his worship, arose from the Word of God, and the wagons began rolling toward Egypt. He is confident as he comes to the border of the promised land, that it is the will of God. The providence of God is supported by the worship of God and the Word of God, and it is indeed God's will that he go to Egypt, and therefore he goes. Do you know what troubled hearts cause us to do? Be wishy-washy. Be half-hearted. To be sort of in, sort of out, not fully committed. But what Jacob discovers in his worship of God and from the Word of God is the totality of his commitment. Load the wagons, we're going. Say amen. And guess what he does? He leaves absolutely nothing in the promised land. He loaded it all up. It looked worse than my U-Haul when I came down here 17 years ago. I haven't told you that story. All the way down from Virginia to South Carolina, Denise and I prayed that there would be nobody at the house and we could unload our junk without anybody seeing our junk and how we have loaded it in the U-Haul. Well, we got to the house and there was about 20 people there. So, right off the bat, God wasn't answering prayers. He left nothing in the promised land. Every person, every article of clothing, every piece of property, every beast, everything was loaded up and taken to Egypt. And here at Beersheba, nothing or no one is sent back to Canaan land. If providence has pointed toward Egypt, if worship is still promoted by going to Egypt, if the Word of God also points that way as well, there's no reluctance. We ought to do it with all of our hearts. Say amen. We need to be sure that we don't do it with half-heartedness. And once sure that this is God's will, Jacob is all in. Let's go. There's nothing left in the promised land to go back to. We like to do that, don't we? You know what they say? Don't burn your bridges. You might have to go back. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We need to burn some bridges so that we are all in for Christ. Amen. We're all in. We have worshiped God. We have got God's word from it. And we are sure this is what God wants us to do. This is how we're going to do it. We're all in. It is the totality of His commitment And then lastly, I just want to share with you the termination of his commitment. You know what God tells Jacob? Jacob, it's my will that you go to Egypt. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to bring the people of Israel out of there. But you're not coming out. Jacob, you're not leaving Egypt alive. He says that Joseph, his son, will close his eyes. It will be his own son who puts his hand upon his eyes and closes them in his death. So Egypt, for Jacob, will be the place, the final place on earth that he will live before he meets God face to face. Now, I don't know if that excites you or not, but what God is telling Jacob is this: you're getting ready to not only move to Egypt, you're getting ready to move to glory. Amen? And so Jacob is going to see his son Joseph, and then it won't be long after he sees his son Joseph face to face before he'll see the Son of God, Jesus Christ, face to face. And so Jacob puts the future of his family in the hands of God, who has promised to make a great nation from them. And the wagons begin to turn their wheels, and the journey begins out of Canaan land, through the desert, to Egypt. And Jacob knows it will be his last journey. But his heart is glad, because his heart is now comforted to know that this journey is the will of God. Amen? You ever face decisions you don't know what to do? Or you ever feel, why is God bringing this into my life now? Or what's God trying to do? Our hearts are troubled, our lives are full of difficulty. And it is so tempting for us to say, you know, I've got so much on me now and I've got so many difficult things going on in my life. I just don't have time to go to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. The worst thing you could do. Troubled heart shouldn't cause us to worship God more. God hasn't changed. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God even more so God may give us direction. God may speak to us through His Word. Amen? And let me say this. This is just going to be a freebie. I notice in churches, most people don't take notes. You should take notes. Amen? Not of my outline, but you should have a notebook open so when God speaks to you through His Word while we are reading His Word or preaching from His Word, that you write it down, because you'll forget it. And why would you want to forget something that God has spoken to you about? Say amen. I'm the pastor of this church, and yet anytime somebody's teaching Sunday school class, I'm taking notes because God is speaking, and I am... So here's what I'll say. God will give me something so profound, or at least I'll think it's profound, and I'll say, my goodness, that's profound. I'll never forget that. And by the time Sunday school's over, I'm going, what did God say? I didn't write it down. And we ought to write down what God impresses us about, what God speaks to us, because I think God speaks to His Word, through His Word. And I think God may say things to you while I'm preaching that has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about. Amen? I was watching Tom online, listening to David last week, taking notes, because God speaks, and I forget what God says. And I don't want to forget what God says. And so I write it down because it's important for me. Amen? Helpful for me. So it is important that we get into the Word of God, we find comfort, and we find our confidence in the Word of God. And then we just load the wagons and go on. Amen? troubled hearts, difficult. We're moving forward, fully committed to God, trusting God, because we have confidence in God. Amen? So I don't know how Jacob feels. I know he's apprehensive about going to Egypt, but he finds out that it's God's will, and he says, move them on out. Let's go. Amen? And so should we. In the church, there should be committed people. Amen? Committed to their Lord, regardless of what they go through. Amen? Worshiping, studying, hearing from God, and doing what God's will desires from them to do. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Certainly helpful for me, and I believe helpful for others. Thank you for sharing with us the troubled heart of Jacob. May his troubled heart instruct us in how we are to deal with that, to worship God, to put ourselves under the Word of God, find comfort and confidence in it, and just in totality make our commitment to God and continue our commitment to God, and knowing that our next destination will be to meet with God and how glorious that will be. So time is short. Opportunities are few. Help us to be committed to God and not let troubled hearts or difficult days keep us from the worship and the Word of God. And we pray that would be true of me and all that are here. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.